Jackanoid Paralope is a mission-driven media company. Check out more of our podcasts at jackanoidparalope.com. Jackanoid Paralope!
The essential role of the artist is to be able to see what's unseen.
The role of the artist can vary, but principally, I think it's about cultivating the imaginary.
Being a creative puts you back in touch with what it means to be a human. And there's so much in the world right now that kind of seeks to strip us of our humanity.
From Jackanoid Paralope, this is Artist Led, a podcast about artists who have moved beyond the proverbial studio to lead efforts around systems change and community well-being. The first episode of this season, Guides on the Ground, introduced listeners to the key players and concepts surrounding this work and the sector of community development investment. This episode, we'll hear excerpts from a conversation between show host Nathaniel Creston and Jamie Bennett, an independent consultant who works with nonprofits and government at the intersection of arts, culture, and equitable community development.
Let's bang this out. Who are you? What are you doing?
My name is Jamie Bennett, and I'm an independent consultant who works with nonprofits, philanthropies, and government at the intersection of arts, culture, and equitable community development.
All right. So we're taking this familiar thing called a bond. We're applying it in an innovative way to these different artist-led initiatives. From a financing standpoint, what's going on here? What is it?
So what I think is really interesting about sort of moving from a loan, which is what a lot of impact investing happens with, philanthropies are happy to make sort of low-cost PRI and MRI loans, is in that situation, the philanthropy decides how much money they want to cost, how much the capital is going to cost, and they decide how long they can be without that money. What is the term that they're going to lend it for? And I've often found that if you're a bag of money in search of a project, you've already started out wrong. That the much better way to do it is to actually start with the project. What is the work that needs to happen? And what is the capital that needs to flow in order for that work to happen? So by switching to a bond, you're actually moving the power into the hands of the people that are moving the project. They're the ones who are saying, this is what my community needs to get done. Here's how much we can afford to pay for the capital, and here's how long we're going to need it. So all of a sudden, you've got the nonprofit, you've got the project in the power position to say, this is what we need. They've set their own terms, and philanthropies and other enlightened lenders are welcome to say yes or no, but they don't get to change the terms of engagement.
And how about these three projects in particular?
So in this case, what I think is additionally interesting about these three projects is also how they're going to repay the bonds. So in upstate New York, Bradley Pitts is an artist who's thinking about what are some of the changes that they need to make to their agricultural practices and how they're doing land stewardship. Those changes that they're going to make are actually going to mitigate future climate disasters, right? They're going to mitigate future flooding. They're going to mitigate future droughts. So all of a sudden, those communities will need to spend fewer emergency relief funds. So that savings is what's actually going to be able to repay the bond that will allow Bradley and his colleagues to make those changes now. In the Bronx, Urban Health Plans is one of the largest federally qualified health centers in New York State, and they're really interested in a set of arts and culture investments. They want to repurpose a theater and activate it as part of their community's wellness plan. And they now have the empirical evidence, the peer-reviewed, published in the World Health Organization Journal evidence, that those interventions will result in future healthcare savings, right? We're going to need to spend less money on medicine. We're going to spend less money on clinical therapies in the future because the folks are weller longer. And so those future healthcare savings are going to be able to be applied to repay the bond. That's actually something that's been modeled out by the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank. There was some work that happened around the original passage of the Affordable Care Act that created an opportunity for healthcare systems to make place-based investments and do that kind of repayment method. And in Dallas, there's a really beautiful play that's going to result in community ownership, a set of artists that are they're currently using a set of properties as live workspaces are going to be able to own those spaces and begin to create their own generational wealth. And they're going to do that through this bond play that will be repaid in the same way that a traditional mortgage would be repaid. So little bits of money every month over 31 years or whatever the term of mortgages is these days, that's how that bond is going to get repaid.
Why are artists uniquely well suited to take on this role?
So what I think is so important to remember about artists is they have a unique set of knowledge, skills, and ability. There are things that they're really good at that aren't better or worse than the things that a plumber is good at or the things that a banker is good at, but they're complementary to those, right? There was someone I know, I can't remember their name, often quipped, you know, that half a mind is a terrible thing to waste. So the way that artists can sort of help bring the right brain thinking into partnership with the left brain thinking. One of the examples I often give is in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Dance Exchange is a dance company. A bunch of choreographers, dancers, dance makers actually partnered with the local Department of Transportation to redo New Hampshire Avenue. And artists, I don't think, can necessarily make a better streetscape than traffic engineers can. But I think if artists and traffic engineers come to get together and collaborate on that, together, they can make a better streetscape than either can individually. So the way that the traffic engineers can think through bodies moving through space, automobile bodies, and how quickly, how efficiently you can do that. And choreographers can think about bodies moving through space, human bodies, and think about the quality of that experience. How good is it to move through space? If you're actually bringing both of those ways of thinking, knowing, solving to bear on the same street, it's going to be better than if you only had half of those folks do.
The uncut version of this interview is available on the Jackanoid Paralobe Substack channel. Please take a moment to rate this show, smash that follow button, and leave any thoughts or ideas in the comments. We do read them. If you're hungry for more stories that dwell on the intersection of creativity, community, and social good, visit jackanoidparalobe.com to explore our full catalog of shows. For exclusive access to bonus content, subscriber perks, and advanced looks at new releases, join the Jackanoid Paralobe community on Substack.